This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. I'm Josh Muccio, and from Gimlet Media, this is The Pitch, where real entrepreneurs pitch to real investors.
Hey, I'm Charles. Nice to meet you, Max.
Hi there. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
In the pitch room today is founder Max Tuchman. She's here to ask for $500,000 for Caribou, an app that lets parents and kids read together when they're apart. Max has a lot to feel confident about walking in the room today. Her startup is young, but in many ways, it's already marked for success. A few months ago, she did a small $100,000 round and quickly oversubscribed it. Caribou is starting to receive a lot of press, and Max recently won the Mother of Invention Award from Toyota. Pitching VCs can be a bit like swimming upstream sometimes, but Max is headed into this pitch with a lot of momentum. Here's who she needs to convince.
I'm Jillian Manis.
Jillian is a partner at Structure Capital and an angel investor on the side.
I'm Charles Hudson.
Charles is with Precursor Ventures, where he invests in early stage startups.
I'm Nicole Verkent.
Nicole runs a software company, and in her spare time, she's an angel investor.
I'm Michael Hyatt.
Michael built and sold two Canadian companies, and now he invests for himself. All right, let's hear the pitch.
Well, I want to start by saying, so I'm the granddaughter of Holocaust survivors, and I'm the daughter of Cuban immigrants. Growing up, because of that background, I was always told education is the only thing you can take with you when you flee. And it's the key to success and opportunity in the new country.
Max was the first in her family to graduate from college. Then in 2004, she became a public high school teacher and later ran Teach for America in Miami, which is when the idea for Caribou first took root.
So for me, I know the importance of early childhood literacy and focusing on building a very strong foundation from the ages of 0 to 7. So I found my co-founder, and he had this piece of technology that I knew could help me do what I wanted to do in education. So we are seeking $500,000 to change the world.
Be more specific.
Let me tell you about Caribou.
All right.
So Caribou is an education platform that helps parents, extended family, and mentors read and draw with children when they're not in the same location. So think FaceTime meets Kindle for kids.
So basically, it's a video calling app with a little something extra. With Caribou, you're able to read a children's ebook together while on the call.
You want to see it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do.
Nicole and Michael volunteer to play parent and kid, and Max hands them each a tablet.
Okay, so I'm going to tell my child, Michael Hyatt, to read Lucas the Lion. Let's do this.
And watch what's happening on your screen.
Okay. Ready? First page. Okay, Michael, let's hear it.
I'm supposed to be reading, or you're reading to me?
You're supposed to read.
Either way.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Michael, you read to mommy.
In the calm shade of an old banyan tree.
Oh, balanite tree.
Yeah, fail. Can we give him an F?
So Michael, do you want to press on one of the places? Yeah, so why don't you highlight where you're reading and just hold there?
Yeah. Okay.
Whoa.
So you can follow along over here to see where you're talking.
So I say, in the calm shade of an old balanite tree, which I'm not sure what that is. And then I go, a family alliance lay happy and free.
Yeah, so now you both are reading together, always on the same page, always connected in real time.
But so this, like, because you'd be doing this if your child was at home, you'd be doing this sort of sitting next to them. But this is for, like, the busy mom that's traveling.
Or grandma who wants
grandma.
To.
Grandma, right.
Yeah, so that's why we say extended family, aunts, uncles. We have a military initiative focused on currently serving military.
Oh, wow.
That's
cool.
Okay, so this is wonderful. I mean, this is a lot of fun. I could see a lot of people using this. Now, let's talk about, I feel like I'm always the bad person to ask this question, but let's talk about the business of this.
It's a good sign that just a few minutes into Max's pitch, the investors are ready to get down to brass tacks and dig into the financials.
Why is this an investable business? Because, you know, I'm getting a little scared that this is easy to copy. This is a great idea. I mean, I can see so many people using this.
Yeah.
Okay, talk to us about why this is a great investment and what happens here.
Yeah. So let me start with, we have already, we've been generating revenue since day one.
Okay, when it was day one?
So we just launched subscription in August. We beta launched it, and that's a $6.99 a month subscription.
So this $7 monthly subscription gets you access to Caribou's library of kids' books and unlimited use of the video calling feature.
I was going to ask you mechanically, if I have extended family, is it like, what's the unit of subscription? So if it's me and the kid, I'm guessing that's one subscription for a parent and child pair. But what happens when you add, does grandma need to be a subscriber too?
Great like, question. So what we say is only one person in the call has to be subscribed.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Let me keep walking you through that revenue that you're asking about.
That. Yeah,
because we've got it.
Yeah.
So it's $6.99 a month.
Yeah.
We have had double-digit month-over-month growth since August. We have an 85% renewal rate of our subscribers.
How many subscribers?
So right now we're at about 160. We were bootstrapped for a year together, and we literally like just got earned media. It was incredible. We got named one of the top 10 edtech companies to watch in Forbes, and we were the only early child company to be named in there. I was named the Toyota Mother of Invention. Toyota gave us a $50,000 grant and gave us a 2018 Toyota Camry commercial and a New York Times banner ad that they ran throughout all of December. So we've always had a lot of organic growth. So people are looking for this. They're literally typing in, how do I read to my kid through a video call? Back to your point, like when you see it, you're like, obvi, right?
Yeah. It's obvious.
Yeah.
I can't say a bad thing about it. I guess I'm just wondering, this is so good. I mean, so is this just easily copied? Like, how do you protect this?
Yeah. What's IP?
Yeah, we're defensible in a couple of different ways. One, it is an intricate kind of system that we've built to make it interactive. I would say the other thing is that we have relationships with over 20 publishers. Mattel, Usborn, Education.com, Santillana, the world's largest Spanish language publisher. So what we have with them, so back to this kind of revenue question, is we have a 50-50 revenue split with our publishers. So the unit economics, this is a...
So they get half of the $7.
So it's $6.99 a month, 30% goes to Apple, about $2. And then there's the other $4 are split, $2 to us, $2 to the publishers.
This revenue split between Caribou and these different publishers is really the backbone of Max's business model. And building these relationships is paramount. Take Netflix, for instance. The reason Netflix is crushing it is because they put a lot of time and money into building partnerships with the studios that make movies and TV shows. Caribou is attempting to do the same thing, but with children's books.
Your relationships, your partnerships with the publishers are going to be the critical piece that's going to get you to scale. So I'd like to hear a little bit about how you're pitching this to the publishers and which publishers are you working with presently?
Yeah, so it's over 20. So small and medium-sized publishers, authors, illustrators, a lot of times they actually come to us.
Okay.
Or I find them on Instagram because I am 100% focused on making our books more diverse and making sure that we are celebrating all families and that kids see themselves in our books. Mm-hmm. I think we have a lot of work to do. That's something like I just take on personally. And so I'm kind of looking for people and then people are reaching out to us. Those are really easy. People are so excited to have a digital strategy for their books.
Any challenges on this, though? I mean, you're saying it's easy. What? Any pushback?
So let me talk about the larger publishers.
Yes, that would be.
Yeah. So on that side, that's easy. On the larger publishers, what we've found is that they still kind of have that mentality of we're here for revenue, and some of them are a little slow to move on the digital side. But we are very optimistic. Pearson, we talked to, and they're completely taking out their printed books and going straight to digital.
Yep.
We also are having some introductions to Scholastic, who have
I've been told
wants a digital strategy.
Up until now, Max has been in total lockstep with the investors. She's had an answer for every question, a solution for every problem. Now, the investors just need to buy into Max's plan for the future.
How are you going to get growth going? I mean, and how long is, how far does 500,000 take you?
Great question. So the way I see it is that we are, we've got product market fit. We've got a product in the market. It's generating revenue. We've got a very low CAC, customer acquisition cost.
What's your estimate by, I give you the whole rest of this year, by December, what would your monthly revenue be in December?
About $170,000.
And are you dropping anything to the bottom line by then? Are you probably using all that on marketing? Or?
A lot of it, yeah. So the way that our model is built is based off of marketing spend. So that's why I'm raising the 500K right now, because I want to take this year and just really grow the company. We are the market leader right now. We want to maintain that position. We are the only ones with six languages. We're the only ones with a focus on literacy, given my background. We also are the only ones with the interactive drawing.
Oh, okay. That's
and
a big one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the drawing's a big
one. Yeah.
Let's say you get another $500,000.
Yeah.
Who are you going to fill out on your team, and what are they going to do?
So the two roles we will hire for with the 500 is a head of growth and a designer.
Like, who's on your team now?
Yeah.
Where are you located?
We're based in Miami, Florida.
Okay.
So we are, I call us a Chihuahua team. We are tiny but mighty. So it is.
Oh my gosh.
I have a Chihuahua.
I was just going to say, did you research that Hyatt has a Chihuahua?
She's mighty, but go on.
So right now it's just me and my co-founder. He's our CTO. I always say he builds it, I sell it. That's how we run the company.
Max has been thinking lean this whole time. She built Caribou with just her and her co-founder, and she's only planning to hire two more people for now. But if she wants the company to really blow up, she might need to think a bit bigger.
Yeah, have you thought about raising more like a million?
Yep.
Like
we have. Yeah.
Because it just sounds to me you want two senior hires, and I think you're a little bit off on your math on how much you have there net, and you don't know your LTV.
And if you get one of these big contracts, you're actually need to even hire more.
Yeah.
So you're not really leaving yourself for a buffer. But I also, it's very interesting, and this is data. This is not me. This is not my opinion. But interestingly enough, women always ask for less. Women founders always ask for less. It's not a lack of confidence. It is something else, and we're all trying to dissect this.
Yeah.
But always ask for a bit more, because you're going to have to start hiring many more people than, you know, just these two.
Absolutely. Right? And I think that's always been so. I think that is, and all the
just
research.
Just a race to raise.
Yeah, but, yeah. Yeah. And you can really burn a company that way, right? By raising too much.
So let's say, what she said is so bang on.
Yeah.
Right, dead on. And so, because what founders do all the time, they raise money and they spend it, and they could have spent it so much smarter.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So you are a passionate, smart founder, and I think you're either creatively bringing it together, but who's going to help you say, I've been there, done this to this rodeo.
Yeah.
I'm going to grow a business. So the person you have not outlined for me is say, I'm going to bring this person on, help me build this business. Who's your business builder person?
So that to me is the head of growth, because I do feel like we right now to grow, to optimize, right? And to grow in a smart way, we need someone who's
constantly— That's external growth. Who's going to operate this business?
I see what you're saying. So I feel like when we built our model, so I have a business degree, and like I we've really focused on this model. And again, I agree with you 100%. I think women are much more conservative, and guys kind of like tell this whole story, and women are like, well, this is what I see, and this is exactly how it's going to be. And we want to be really honest with you. If you gave me $1 million, I could do amazing things.
So I think let's flip that as well. Is that, if I am a publisher, my question is, are you going to be able to handle this account,
right? Yeah.
Do you have enough runway? Do you have enough working capital?
Yeah.
Do you have, and so that's one of the things I'm going
to
look at if this company is well financed.
So we have built the model to continue to keep the overhead really low, because this product actually is very, just adding more publishers doesn't need more headcount.
So I'm going to push back a wee bit on this, because it's a point person for the publishers to know they have somebody in the company, right, that is going to be handling every count, that is going to work with the, you know, with the calendar, is going to work with the pub dates, right? So I think that that is a critical piece of this, especially if that's one of your main levers, which it is.
That's a very good point. And I don't think we kind of built that person in. I think I always just assumed I would take it on.
It's decision time. After a strong start to her pitch, Max faced some tough questions about her business plan. Has she allayed the investors' concerns? Charles is up first.
I think you've got really good product insights. And for a two-person team, this is a really impressive product.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know how large of a catalog you need to span 0 to 7, but it looks like just from peeking at the app, you've got already a pretty good content strategy. And like my biggest concern is kind of what I think Michael hinted as, I would want to see some real rigor around the plan.
Yeah.
So given where you are, I think I'm going to pass, but with the caveat, you're very much in my sweet spot in terms of progress, round size, the amount of capital you want to raise. But if I could get comfortable with sort of the rigor in the plan and where you think you'll end up, I'd be happy to take a closer look at investing.
Could I follow up with you and show you everything? Mm-hmm. And yeah, awesome. That'd be great.
Charles is out. Next up, Nicole.
It's a great, ingenious solution, I think it's. And like, so I would keep it to what it is. Like, just make it the best book reading Netflix of children's books in the market and just dominate that and do it through diversity in languages and keep making it better. And I think it's great. I think it's definitely an increased trend where more parents seem to be away, or maybe it's just the people I hang out with. I think you're going to ride that trend as well, which is really good. Yeah. For me personally, I think it makes a lot of sense for you to try to raise some capital from the publishers and focus on the publishers, or raise capital from someone who can help you bring on more publishers or more content. I just struggle where I could add value here. So for that reason, I have to pass, just because I can't see myself adding value besides telling everybody I just found this really cute app that's really great.
Nicole passed. It's Jillian's turn now.
As you know, from my background, this is, you know, my one of my sweet spots is literacy, but also obviously the publishing industry. So I do want to see more rigor around this, and I do want to better understand this business model. I also don't want this to be a one-trick pony, right? But I want to know the partnership with the publisher. I want to see how they're perceiving this, where there's a relationship, and do they see that this is value enough for them to contribute marketing dollars? And what does that look like? But this is worth it, because if this really is the real deal, and there is and we can go to market with this, I could see how an investment from me would help you a lot. So I'd like to help.
Thank you.
I really would like to help, but I need to understand and know what I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will follow up with you as well to make sure that you have everything.
Fantastic. Then we will follow up in the next chapter.
Ooh. Oh,
wow.
Oh, I was waiting for the pun.
Snuck it in there.
With a parting pun, Jillian is out. Michael is the last investor standing.
I mean, you know, the time I've spent here on this podcast, I think you're one of the most genuine, nice in work and entrepreneurs that we could work with. I think you're very smart. I think you're kind. I think you're doing this because you really love it. I think you believe in your company. You know, I'll say to you what I've said to a number of entrepreneurs: it always costs more. It always takes longer. You know, you should focus on your strengths and hire your weaknesses. And maybe you need a little help with operations and bring it together. My instant gut on your product is excellent. It's like an 8 out of 10 already. How do you make it better? I think the person who wins the content is going to win. And that's why, this is the whole thing with Netflix and now Disney. And the publishing rights in here is going to be the king. And so you're going to have to get very, very forceful on that. I'm not sure I'm the right investor for you. I'm not sure what I can bring to you. I can bring my 7 nephews and nieces, and I will actually go home. And if you set me up an account, I will give this a try.
Yeah, absolutely.
For now, I'm going to pass, but I am going to take a deeper look at this, and if I can get a little more excited, I may come in later.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming.
Nice to meet you all.
Thanks, Max.
Bye.
Nice to meet you.
After a strong start and a lot of enthusiasm, Max went 0-for-4 with the investors, which just goes to show pitching ain't easy. After Max leaves the room, the investors keep the compliments coming.
Wow.
I really like her.
That was a very, very cool app.
Yeah.
I could see people using that all day. You know what, though? I think the only way to create a moat is to get those publishers in.
Because
we all know that you can. I didn't buy her story, and I guess I should have called it out in there that somebody couldn't reproduce it technically.
Because
you can.
But that's
we all know we can have 5 developers do it in 5 months. Yeah. It's yeah. if she has the publishers, the it doesn't matter. She can have a worse product if she owns the publishers.
She needs one Motherlode publisher. She needs Random House and Penguin, which is now merged.
I totally agree.
She needs one of those. And to start with, either I mean, I have some ideas
around
this.
We can help bring that to her, then it's worth the investment.
If Max can ink those deals with publishers, she'll write her own happily ever after. Coming up, we tell the rest of this story. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. We talk to a lot of entrepreneurs on this show, and one thread that connects them all, they're not just pitching their business, they're pitching themselves. Because small business owners know that their business is more than just a company. It's their whole life. And State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, and they know what it takes. They can help you choose personalized policies that fit your budget. That's the personal touch. That's small business insurance from State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. Small business owners know that it's not just business, it's personal. Your business is your life, and State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, so they know what it takes. They can help you create a personalized insurance plan that fits your small business needs and budget. And they live and work in your community. So you're not just getting an insurance plan, you're getting that personal touch. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Welcome back. We caught up with Max 2 months after she pitched to find out the latest from Caribou.
Everything has happened with Caribou. It's been great. So first of all, we went to DC. We beat out 75 other countries and 19 other finalists to be the global champs of the 1776 Global Pitch Competition. So 75 different cities compete locally, and then they picked a bunch of us to be in the semifinals, and then we got to the finals, and we went to D.C., and we all pitched our little hearts out, and this Latina from Miami took the prize home, the number one prize.
That's awesome. Okay, cool. Well, what else has happened?
Yeah, so because of that, if you remember during the pitch, Michael was like, why aren't you raising the, a million? Like, you probably need a million. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And so we actually have increased our round to $1 million, and we are 80% committed because people have literally been throwing cash at us. Yeah, it's been great.
Holy crap. Okay, well, cool. So 80% of your round committed, like, that has to feel really good.
It feels amazing. As a female founder, we get, I think it's 0.2% of venture capital funds. And as a Latina, I get 0.004% of venture funds. So the ability to kind of be out there saying, being a role model and saying we can do this too is like amazing to me.
So one of the things I want to follow up with was Charles had asked to be followed up with after the fact. How did that go?
Yeah, so we're still in talks with Charles. So that has been moving forward. And then Jillian was definitely, kind of the most strategic investor in the room, given her background in publishing and media and her focus on female founders and just her enthusiasm through the episode. I was just like, I was feeding off of that. She's just amazing.
So I think in your pitch, like the investors, like universally across the board, like they loved your product. I mean, like you got like a Michael Hyatt rating of like 8 out of 10, which is
that was a
truly impressive feat. but it seems like where things fell apart in your pitch is when like it seemed like they were thinking you were thinking too small and that you needed to raise more money, build out a bigger team, and like really go hard to get the big publishers on board, people like Random House. Do you think they were right that you were thinking too small?
I think I think it's yes and no. It's a combination of, you know, sometimes we dream big and that actually works. And investors like buy into the big dream and the idea and they go with you. And then sometimes you dream big and people are like, well, that's crazy and unrealistic and we don't understand how you're going to get there. And even when you show them the numbers and the plans and projections, there still is a lot of implicit bias in the system. And sometimes they don't think you personally can get there or your team can get there, or they just have a bias against the industry you're in. And so, you know, we've had to kind of temper some of the things that we've planned for, and I think that's a mistake, right? Like that's something that I don't ever want to do again. Like I just want to like be really true to myself.
So you're saying like you'd learn to set your expectations a little bit lower and to not dream as big because like people just weren't getting on board with your vision in the way that you wanted them to, and that then like. So then you course corrected down and then like pitched to other people with like a more reasonable vision. And then of course their reaction is the opposite. Like you need to think bigger. And that's kind of what happened in the room.
Yeah. And it's, I have a word for it. It's called investor whiplash. So, and you're just like, you get to a point where you're just like, you know what? Like, I know what I need to do for my company. I know what's going to take me to the next level. And I just want to, I think also the amount of the round that we were raising was my kind of trying to protect the equity. But I'd rather be, the owner of, you know, like I'd rather have like 10% of like a $30 billion company than, 90% of a $3 million company. So I've kind of had to shift my ways as well.
I feel like the big like push behind their thinking, like you need to go bigger, think bigger with this thing was on the publisher side. Like, where's the plan there? Like if let's say you raise this $1 million, like what do you do next?
Yeah. So, and that was Jillian's big point, right? Is she's like, you need someone to manage all these publisher contracts. And I was like, actually we don't. Like our publishers are pretty easy to manage. We do it. We've got over 20 publishers right now and, we do it pretty well. I mean, they don't bother us that much that we, you know, send them their checks and they're pretty happy. but we brought on at least 5 publishers since we pitched on your show, and 2 of them are huge brands, Sesame Street, and we're bringing back Mattel with new content. And I do hear Jillian in the next year, we are probably going to need someone, who's not only sourcing new content, but also managing, the publishers that we have. But I think right now, that's like kind of like my 3rd or 4th, hire.
How big is your team right now?
Still two. We've accomplished so much with 2. It's like insane. But yeah, I mean, we do need more people now.
So Max is awesome. And I thought she did an outstanding job in her pitch. And come to think of it, the investors seem to feel the same way. So why didn't she walk away with some serious cash? The answer probably comes down to this. It is really hard to pitch to investors. Wait, let me rephrase that. It's actually really easy to pitch to investors compared to how freaking hard it is to get investment. It's like Phil said a few weeks ago, it's gotta be a hell yeah, not just a yeah, when there's hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line. But it sounds like she's on her way, and I can't wait to hear the next chapter of Caribou. Hey, I want to say a quick thanks to everyone who already filled out our new survey. We're literally overwhelmed by their response and we'll be diving into the data here soon. One last bit of exciting news. Right now, we are casting for our next recording event to be held in New York City in June. So if you know of a startup that's doing something truly groundbreaking and new, we'd love to hear about it. You can give us a tip by sending an email to thepitch@gimletmedia.com with the subject line Startup Tip. And if you're a founder with your own startup, you can fill out our application at thepitch.show/apply. Our show is produced by me, Josh Muccio, Molly Donahue, and Kareem Maddox. We are edited by Devin Taylor and Blythe Terrell. We are mixed by Enoch Kim, original music composed by The Musemaker. Our theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Thanks to Lisa Muccio for planning the recording of this pitch. We discovered Caribou because of an introduction from Matt Stevenson from Code to College in Austin, Texas. And as a reminder, no offer to invest is being made to or solicited from the listening audience on today's show. All right, you've been listening to The Pitch from Gimlet Media. We'll be back with a brand new episode next Wednesday. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.